Thank you for all the children who are in classes in our building right now, being loved on by teachers and then learning about you and your ways. For the youth who are in their class, for adults who are enjoying great fellowship. For Encuentro that's going to meet in the 11 o'clock hour, we pray, Father, that you would meet with them in power. Know something of the life-changing power of Jesus. And we pray the same thing for ourselves right now. As we look at a biblical theme, pray that you would open our eyes to new ways of thinking, new ways of understanding what you would have us do and be today. And we're asking all of this as we prepare to take next steps with you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. Most every nation in the world will put diplomats on foreign soil to represent their interests in a foreign place. The chief diplomat is called the ambassador. From the very beginning of our own nation, we have stationed ambassadors in different countries. Our first ever ambassador was Benjamin Franklin. He was stationed in France, and I just learned Sweden. Benjamin Franklin described the role of an ambassador or a diplomat as the qualities of a diplomat or an ambassador are sleepless tact, unmovable calmness, a patience that no folly, no provocation, no blunders may shake. An ambassador is steady. Ambassadors understand that they may find themselves in dangerous places, dangerous situations. Someone will be posted in Fiji, which sounds kind of cushy to me, but somebody's got to be in hard places. Places in the Middle East, third world countries, an ambassador goes where he or she is sent. The ambassador may serve in a large or a small country. Some are well known. We know the names Madeleine Albright, George H.W. Bush, Nikki Haley. Most are not well known. But when U.S. ambassadors, say, negotiate a treaty or when they attend a state dinner, what they're really doing is what they're all about in carrying out their central mission is representing the interests and the policies of the United States of America abroad. I found a story back in some ancient files that described what one ambassador did, so just let me tell you the story of Bob Krueger. Bob Krueger is a Texan. He served in Congress and in the Senate, and he was appointed by President Clinton to serve as an ambassador to the Central African nation of Burundi in 1994-95. Now, Burundi is a very small nation. It's near Kenya, just south of Rwanda. It's hilly, it's temperate climate. To this day, it is desperately poor. And Burundi is populated mainly by two tribes. And in the years prior to Bob Krueger's posting there, there had been two seasons of genocidal civil war in the 70s and then in 1993, the year before he arrived. In 93, at least 300,000 Burundians were killed. Another million were displaced, had to leave the country. And it was into that powder keg that Bob Krueger walked as the ambassador. He immediately sized up the situation. He recognized that things could get worse really fast. This was only 1 year after a million in Rwanda were slaughtered in their civil war. So we called both groups, the two major tribes, to the table and called them to negotiate for peace. He was very strongly opposed for his efforts, got death threats. He had to send his family back home to the United States for their safety. But while he was in Burundi, he fought for the highest ideals of America. He worked for peace and justice in Africa as a representative of the USA. That's what an ambassador does. He works for the welfare of the nation where he's stationed. He's living in this culture, but he's representing there his home culture. The Bible uses lots of images to describe Christ followers, disciple, child of God, salt, light. This morning, you and I are going to consider another image. We're going to consider our role as God's ambassadors to a world he desperately loves. So, I'm going to highlight our role as God's ambassadors to the world at large. Like Bob Krueger did in Burundi, we are to represent the values and the culture of heaven to the culture in which we are placed. Now, the actual term ambassador only occurs two times in the whole New Testament. In both of those times, it carries the thought of an elder statesman who both proclaims and lives out the values of God's kingdom on earth. That's in Ephesians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So the word shows up twice, but this idea of God's people representing the interests of heaven on earth shows up everywhere. So if for Exhibit A, I offer Jesus. His most famous sermon is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. That is, boiled down, it is a call to Jesus' followers to give their allegiance to heaven, to value what heaven values. Starts off with the Beatitudes, and the Beatitudes are an invitation to lead the life of a citizen of heaven. Blessed are all of those. And then he follows that up by addressing several topics. And every topic Jesus addresses in the Sermon on the Mount, anger, sexual temptation, marriage, revenge, loving enemies, prayer, fasting, and all the rest, every one of them is given a very non-Roman slant. In fact, it's a slant, it's not very first century Jewish either. It's an eternal kingdom slant. He's telling his followers, you are my ambassadors, in so many words. I want you to live in such a way that you reflect well on me and my Father. So the teaching of Jesus is ambassadorial, so is his life. I want to just highlight two ways in which Jesus lived out heaven's values on earth. One was his embrace of all people everywhere. He showed no partiality. He loved Jews and non-Jews. He told stories about farming, told stories about homework, connected with regular, ordinary people. When he talked to people who were on society's fringe, they were drawn to him. They invited him to their parties, and he gladly accepted. And the tax collectors and the sinners considered him their friend. Reached out to the disabled, and he set free the demonized. He lavished value on people the world considered unclean. When the rich and the well-connected came to him honestly, he was patient, loving with them, like Nicodemus. But when the powerful abused the least and the last and the lost, Jesus confronted them, and he spoke truth to power. And then, so there's that, his love, and then there's Jesus' service. And there Jesus drew a really thick line between the way God's kingdom and the kingdoms of this world work. In the kingdoms we know, the more powerful you get, the more people are under you, serving you. So Jesus turned the pyramid upside down and said that the greater value of the kingdom of God is you are great so that you can serve more. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. He's the leader, and he washes feet. Throughout his whole life, he was the leader, and he gave, and he gave, and he gave. At the very end of Jesus' life, he gave himself on a cross as a ransom for our eternal souls when he died for you and me. He was standing before Pontius Pilate right before they led Jesus to the cross. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. In other words, I am an ambassador of another kind of kingdom, Pilate. And the 12 apostles watched as Jesus lived the way he lived and taught the way he taught, and they got it. And indwelt by the Holy Spirit, they also served as ambassadors to the culture of their day. So you just see this in a couple of stories. In the early chapters of Acts, Peter and John perform this great miracle of healing on a lame man, and then they preach this wonderful sermon, and the Jewish leadership brings Peter and John before them, and they say, no more talking about Jesus. I want you to stop talking about Jesus now. And this is how they respond. Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. We can't stop speaking about what we've seen and heard, which is a remarkable answer for these God-fearing Jews to give to the Supreme Court of Israel. But they're speaking as ambassadors of a foreign state. They are Jews living in the land of Israel, but they're not ultimately citizens of Israel. They are ultimately citizens of Jesus' kingdom. Then there's the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote to Christians who lived in Rome, and he told them in Romans 13, every person is to be subject to the governing authorities. Whoever resists governing authorities has opposed the ordinance of God. So Paul's teaching, obey Rome. Live as model citizens. And we don't miss the irony that the guy who wrote that spent lots of time in Roman jails. And the point is, Paul obeyed Rome whenever he could. But he never obeyed Rome when it was in violation of obeying God. Because he had a higher allegiance than to Rome's law. Just like we have a higher allegiance than to our Constitution. We have an allegiance to God. The apostles spoke as ambassadors to governors and kings. They evangelized the powerful and the poor and the lost and the outcast. These early ambassadors for Jesus and their immediate followers, the apostles and their immediate followers, represented the values of heaven. And what we know from history as well as Scripture is they stood against the cruelty that was inherent in the Roman slavery system. And we know that they turned the whole structure, the whole way of looking at family upside down. Husbands were called to love their one wife. Wives are called to respectfully submit to their husbands. Parents are to nurture and love their kids. By the way the early disciples lived, they completely changed, or at least they introduced a whole new set of sexual mores to their culture. They were ambassadors. They lived out heaven's policies on earth. So now, what about the last 19 centuries? How has the church done since those earliest days? Now, all of us are well aware that there have been many seasons when the church has not lived up to its ambassadorial mission. There are incidents that have happened that are embarrassing. There are famously ugly seasons in church history. And we know that. It grieves us. We are really sad about this. But we're not really surprised. Because from day one, Jesus' church has been made up of redeemed and flawed people. So it happens. And the uglies are all true. But when and where Jesus' church has been healthy, Jesus' followers have been wonderful ambassadors. When the church has been healthy, the church has always cared for the sick, the disabled, the dying. It's one of the best stories. In the third century, a terrible plague swept through the whole Roman Empire. Historians refer to it as the plague of Cyprian. He was the emperor at the time. We don't know what caused it, smallpox or influenza or Ebola or something horrible. It lasted over 10 years. It decimated the empire. Records of the general populace of Rome who would abandon or even throw out their dying family members to save themselves, but the Christians throughout the empire cared for the sick. Many of these who cared for the sick died themselves, but historians will tell us that because of the sacrificial love shown by the Christians during the plague of Cyprian, many, many people came to faith in Christ. This distinctive of caring for the sick is present whenever and wherever the church is healthy. A bunch of years ago, there was a family who came to our church. They now live in Ohio. Great family. Father's, he was an elder at our church, Colonel Hadley Reed. And Hadley once told me the story of how his grandfather became the first believer in Hadley's family tree. This was when the great influenza, 1917 to 1919, was taking place. People were dying all over our country, all over the world, in fact. And in the Midwest town where Hadley's grandfather lived, he became sick. He was one of the very, very sick people in this small town. And a Christian man came to his home. This is against the quarantine. There was a quarantine, and this man came to his home and cared for Hadley's grandfather. Hadley told me that this man told his grandfather, "I know Jesus. I can die better than you can." So, and Hadley told me his grandfather put his faith in Jesus, who had motivated his rescuer to love so well. That man was an ambassador. Missions agencies, when they have gone to a foreign country to share the gospel, have almost always taken with them a care for the health concerns of the people they've gone to serve. Hospitals often start because of the love of Christ. I've seen it over and over again in our church through the years. We care for those who are going through tough times, who are suffering physically, because that's what ambassadors do. I've got a list here of four or five different things. That's one. Another is that Jesus' ambassadors have cared for some of the most vulnerable people in society. James chapter 1 says, "Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit," meaning to help, "orphans and widows in their distress, to keep oneself unstained by the world." Any culture you can name, widows and orphans are at-risk populations. And we know from at least Acts chapter 6 forward, the church cared for widows, these desperate people groups, where they served the widows daily, providing food. One of the ministries we support is Crossway International. It's led by Dean Collar. This ministry has a wonderful ministry in Kenya. And among their ministries, they share the gospel and they support orphanages and widows. Dean is blind, and he has a real heart for blind orphans. So Crossway supports a lot of blind orphans. Kenya also has, just because of disease generally, they have whole villages made up of only widows. In Crossway, in fact, Northwest, we have supplied through Crossway water supply systems for these widows' villages. We've supplied goats to these widows that will produce milk, and then they will multiply. And it's the difference between life and death for these widows. It would be impossible for me to describe the gratitude on the faces of widows and orphans when they get that somebody they don't even know loved them enough to provide for them, and that there's a God in heaven who loves them even more. If you wanted to get into the game of serving parentless kids, there's all kinds of fostering options here in San Antonio. You could pursue adoption. Call the church office this week. We'll help you get in touch with the right people. And when it comes to widows, maybe all we need to do is just keep our eyes open. So when we keep our eyes open and our ears open, we'll discover a world of opportunity to serve and to love. Wherever the church has been healthy, women have benefited. It is remarkable, given the era in which Jesus lived, how important a role women played in his life and ministry. He was friends with women. He was supported financially by women. He had a very high regard for women. Women were vitally involved in the life of the early church. Phoebe, mentioned in Romans 16, she was a deaconess in the church at Cenchrea. Priscilla, along with her husband Aquila, taught Apollos the ways of Jesus. There are lots of places in our world today where women are not esteemed, or valued, or safe. There's a book that came out some years ago called Half the Sky. It's about women and really the plight of women in many places. Half the Sky. Where Jesus' ambassadors have a voice, women and girls, half the sky, are blessed. Fourth, got one more after this. In many cultures, ancient and modern, preborn and newborn babies are not always cherished. Babies that are not wanted were and are, even to this day in some places, left outside. They are exposed. We should all know that abortion is not a strictly modern procedure. Abortion has been practiced for thousands of years. Early Christians opposed abortion. They rescued babies that were left exposed. Today, the loudest, most loving voices affirming the value of the preborn and the newborn are the voices of Jesus' followers who are serving as ambassadors. We believe in the sanctity of all human life. Preborn, newborn, disabled, elderly, all made in the image and likeness of God. The last thing I'll note is slavery. Read through the New Testament, and there is no wholesale condemnation of slavery. And that might be surprising. Scripture accepts slavery as something that happens in human affairs. But the way the New Testament deals with slavery is to tell slaves, respect and obey your masters, and it tells masters, this is much more radical, treat your slaves well. Reciprocal obligations. That doomed slavery. And what happened in the Christian era, in the Roman Empire, slavery declined. William Wilberforce, in the later parts of the 1700s and the early part of the 1800s, along with some of his companions, worked to eradicate slavery in the British Empire, and they successfully convinced Parliament to stop England's participation in the horrible African slave trade. What William Wilberforce, a strong believer in Jesus, did was for good. It was for God. He was an ambassador. It's the same thing 2 centuries later many Christians are doing today, because in many places in our world, slavery is still legal. And then, even here, the United States, while illegal, slavery still happens because of sex trafficking, because of kidnapping, forced servitude, and there are courageous Christians who are fighting slavery, the scourge of slavery today. So, when the Lord told the prophet Jeremiah, say to your people, this is the people of Israel who were living in a foreign land, they were living in Babylon, seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord on its behalf. He was calling them to be ambassadors. When Mordecai, who was the uncle of Queen Esther, saw that she had the opportunity to make a difference in a foreign land, he said, "Who knows, but that you have come to the throne as a queen, as an ambassador for such a time as this." Jesus and the apostles and the early church and the church through the centuries, as it's been healthy, have been ambassadors to a world in great need. And now it comes to us. You and I are to be God's ambassadors to the culture in which we live at this time, and what a time this is. If you were to create a collage of America in 2018, I wonder what you would put on the collage. I wouldn't paint because I'm a lousy artist, but I would paint a word picture on my collage that includes a description of a highly charged, politically adversarial background. I would describe fiscal and financial injustice and social injustice, some of it structural, a lot of it personal. I would describe ethnic tension, international tension, including now nuclear threat. I'd mention a devaluing of human life because of things like abortion, infanticide, euthanasia. And I'd be sure to include in my collage a glut of entertainment that specializes in violence, in sensuality, occult themes. It's billed adult. There's nothing adult about it. And I would add to this violence. Here's where I'd like to just spend a couple of minutes as we close, thinking about how we as Jesus' people can make an ambassadorial difference. In many cities, major cities in America, including San Antonio, especially in lower-income urban areas, there is an epidemic of murder, gang violence. Dr. John Perkins was here a month ago. It seemed like it's been a month. 4 weeks since he was here. He spoke about this while he was leaning on the pulpit. Dr. Perkins also reminded us of what we have seen more recently, and that is that in our more suburban areas, like right here, we're more likely to see mass shootings. Churches, concerts, theaters, schools. And I'll just say what we're all thinking. We're all grieved and sickened, angry about what happened at the high school in Parkland, Florida. It's just carnage. 17 dead, so many more wounded. Where families that were ripped apart, whole community. And we ask why. And the answers to that question are long. Mental illness. Sometimes there's criminal background. Warnings that aren't heeded, easy access to certain kinds of weapons, soft targets, dysfunctional homes, young men, and it's always males. Young men who are desensitized by video games and movies, young men who are disconnected from relationships, sometimes bullied. Maybe they're socially awkward, young men who seem to feel a need to prove something. And we wonder, what can we do? It's a legitimate, inevitable question. New, tougher gun laws, stricter background checks, outlaw certain or all guns, fight or support the NRA, hardened school campuses. We think about all these options, and it dawns on us, after thinking about the various options, how little power we each have how little control I have and you have when it comes to violent outbursts. We have little power to affect change, but we don't have no power. Because after all, we are God's ambassadors. I want us to think about ambassadors again. An ambassador is not sent to the whole world. An ambassador is sent to a place. Bob Krueger was sent to Burundi. Nikki Haley to the UN. Benjamin Franklin to France. Leaven is not scattered. Leaven is hid in this particular lump of dough. A mustard seed is planted in this garden plot. And you have been posted in a place. Every one of us. Kathy and I live in the Hills and Dales neighborhood. A big part of my posting is Northwest Community Church. Part of Kathy's posting is a lot of involvement in English as a second language classes. Some of you are posted in Braun Station, Alamo Ranch, some at USAA, Lackland, HEB. There are students who come to our church who are posted at Marshall High School, O'Connor High School, Stevenson Middle School, charter schools, private schools, home schools. You can't have impact everywhere, but where you are, you can be leaven. Where you are, you can be Jesus' ambassador. We are here to represent Jesus' priorities and values in the place where we are. So what do? First, we pray. You remember right after the Parkland shooting, what we heard was from so many, no more prayer and condolences, we want action. And we get that. We understand. And we pray. Because our hope is in God. In God we trust. Prayer is you and me crying out to God to do what only He can do. Guidance comes as we pray. Energy comes as we pray. Conviction grows as we pray. So we pray. And then, and here's my big verb, this is what I long to see all of us here do. We lavish love and value on the young. That's what Jesus did. There's this beautiful passage. It's in Mark chapter 10. They were bringing children to him so that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to the disciples, "Permit the children to come to me. Don't hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And Jesus took the children in his arms, just let that image linger, and he began blessing them, laying his hands on them. That's Ambassador Jesus, carrying out, representing the heart of his Father by loving children. You and I serve as Jesus' ambassadors when we serve the young and lavish value on children and teens in whatever settings they might be. So some of you, and God bless you, some of you have children still in your home, and you're raising children. Sitting at your table every day, and under your roof, you have these precious children, the next generation of world changers for Jesus. And you can ensure that your children are loved and cared for and nurtured, and they are guided and led and trained. And there are young ones here at our church, and I am so grateful to God for the young ones here at our church. Every infant and toddler, every child and teenager is a precious, made in the image and likeness of God person. Every one of them is priceless. Jeff was up front last Sunday dedicating the gardener's daughter, Melody. And remember during the dedication, Jeff asked, okay, so I'm going to charge you and ask you a question, talking to us who were watching. He said, will you promise to make this place, church, a place of good memories, wholesome memories for Melody? Will you give her a taste of grace here at this church? And we all said, we will. How are you going to live that promise out? Now, there's all kinds of ways to possibly live that out. Some of you are teaching Sunday school, and you're helping in Sunday school classes, and you're serving in the nursery, and that's fantastic. And not everybody's going to teach in Sunday school, and I completely know that. Is it possible that any of us here today, right now, are not doing so because we've never kind of put two and two together and thought about serving babies, serving children in classes, or approaching Landry Soutoff and asking, how can I serve teens? We've never thought about that as being Jesus' ambassadors to the next generation. Some of you are, and some more will, teach classes, teach children. Could we each make it a point to greet children we see? And when you see them walking down the hall, give them a high five. Give them a big hug. Make eye contact. Tell them you're really glad to see them today, because I know you are, so tell them and ask them how their week has been. We talk about next steps around here a lot. What is your next step when it comes to serving the next generation here at church? And then there are young ones who don't come to church. Jesus loves them. Leroy Jacobson has served teens for decades in his work on staff with Campus Life Youth for Christ. Talked to Leroy this past week, so thanks for the time on the phone, Leroy. Leroy meets regularly with kids from Marshall High School. He estimates that 75% of the kids who come to the meetings he runs never go to church. Never. 75%. Told me about one of his coworkers who was talking with a sophomore at a high school recently and told some of the basic stories about Jesus, you know, Jesus' miracles, Jesus died on the cross for your sin, and the sophomore in high school said, I'd never heard any of that before. Leroy said that he's working with a lost generation. Many come from not intact homes. They can't wrap their minds around grace. They don't have categories for unconditional love. Leroy told me that he would welcome a phone call from anybody at Northwest who would like to find out how to serve teens. There's mentoring programs, hosting opportunities, financial partnerships, all kinds of ways to invest in kids. I love what one family in our church has done. Sam and Diane Girard. Thanks, guys. They have a couple of great teenagers, and their teenage children, Seth and Narelle, have some great friends. And their friends come to the Girard's house all the time. Is that an exaggeration? All the time? they come a lot. And they play video games, and they eat meals, and they have sleepovers, because the Girards have been hospitable ambassadors. More recently, some of those kids have been coming to church, come to youth group. Some of them watched our baptism a few weeks ago. They're getting a taste of grace. Hospitable ambassadors. What this up-and-coming generation needs, this is the generation that has less exposure to Jesus than any generation in the history of our nation. They're floundering spiritually. being tempted by all kinds of dangerous things. What this generation needs is Jesus' love. They need you and me to take mustard seed-sized steps of love toward them. Babies, children, teenagers, young adults. Talk to J.D. and Christy Girard. Work with Destino. It may be that your ambassadorship will be played out on the scene of serving kids. Maybe you will explore fostering or adoption. Or maybe in a whole another sector. Maybe you will represent Jesus to someone who's suffering from disease. Maybe you'll help somebody who's trapped in addiction. Every one of the people you know is someone for whom Christ died. All of us are glorious wrecks. They need you to be Jesus' ambassador who will represent him to them. That's the call of our Savior to each one of us today. And as we wrap up now, I'd just like for us to pray about that. So would you join me? And I'm going to ask if you would stand with me. Father, it seems that almost anywhere we might look, we would see wreckage. A collage that we paint in our mind's eye sees so much, where if you don't do what only you can do, there's no hope. But you have invited us into partnership with you to serve as your ambassadors to represent Jesus here and now. Would you please open each one of our eyes to opportunities? In whatever sector of our desperately needy world you want us to serve, where we have giftedness, where we have passion, use us to show Jesus to our world. I thank you for so many here who are already doing that, and then others of us want to do more. We want to be on mission for the Great Commission. We want to be the kind of people that others will see and say, so that's what Jesus' love looks like. Release us to that mission, Lord, as your ambassadors, and we pray this in his name. And all of us said together, amen. God bless you. We're dismissed.